Welcome to The Story Field. This is Josh Allen, and I'm joined by Micah Petrie. This is a podcast created and sponsored by The Allen Firm. At The Allen Firm, we think there are too many unknowns in life's legal situations. The Allen Firm provides legal guidance so you can make a great decision, come to a resolution, and be at peace. For more information about The Allen Firm, visit allenlawfirm.com. Well, we think you will agree that life is complex, business is hard, and living a life of faith can feel complicated. You're in the right place today to hear some great stories of normal people just like us who will inspire you to move forward in life. Thank you for joining us today. We know you're going to be encouraged. Hey, Storyfield. Well, I'm excited to welcome my friend, Blessed Matai, to the show. I said your name right.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I think I probably called you Blessed for a while. For the whole time.
Same deal.
Okay. Well, man, we're going to have a great interview today. So I appreciate you making time.
Appreciate the invitation, man.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be completely honest with me.
Yeah.
What is one thing you do that really refreshes your energy?
Man, seriously, man. I've told people before, like getting punched in the face or, you know, almost getting choked doing jiu-jitsu, man, it's one thing that, you know, makes, just, you know, reminds me that, hey, you're alive. You're still
I love that. I've never, when I asked you that question, I actually laughed out loud. Yeah. I've never heard anybody ever answer. That's what refreshes me, getting punched in the face. So,
it's like, you know, you'll be like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm here.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Well, Coach Blessed Matai, he's the owner of Makua. Is that, did I pronounce that right?
Yes, sir.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Club here in Stephenville. And you grew up in Mozambique. The town is Maputo?
Maputo, yeah.
Okay. So Mozambique, Africa. And you ended up playing basketball for ACU, Abilene Christian University. You're a graduate of the Police Academy and serving as an officer at Tarleton State University. And you're a husband for 15 years and a father to 3 kids. So I would say you're in the middle of the busy life.
Big time.
Okay. Well, we like to run this, Blessed, like kind of in a life kind of story, like chronology. So tell us about growing up. Tell us, for all of us who don't know anything about the culture of Mozambique, all that. I mean, we want to hear it.
So, man, growing up was good, man. I grew up in Maputo, Mozambique. It's a coastal country, you know. So we have the Indian Ocean over there. So pretty much, I was talking to a friend of mine just a couple of days ago, how, you know, we took for granted growing up like on by the beach, you know what I mean? And then, like, you know, I enjoy the beach. Growing up, like, all we did was just, you know, going to the beach on Sunday. Sundays was beach day, you know, get out of school and play soccer. We call football, you know, because, of course, y'all call football, but y'all play football with hands. So I don't understand that. But, you know, that's a conversation for a different day. So I grew up playing football where you kick the ball, actually. And, you know, on the streets, and was great. And I ended up playing tennis a little bit, you know. And, of course, I lived in Mozambique, Maputo, Mozambique, for 20 years. And when I realized that tennis was not something for me, not because I wasn't good at it, it just because, you know, was not the environment that I was used to. You know, I was the only black kid in the team. So, you know, like, I live in Africa, I'm the only black kid in the team, you know what I mean? So it's kind of
That surprises me that you play tennis. Just, I mean, just kind of knowing you and your combat sports, like,
I know.
Yeah,
I know. So, you know, I play soccer all my life, tennis, and, you know, went back to soccer. And, you know, I was not good enough in soccer, so I got kicked out, you know. And on my way home, we saw kids playing basketball. And we're like, you know, let's go try something since we're already here. So we tried basketball and, you know, and made a team, and you just kept playing. 20 years later, you know,
Was you're not going to get me from Africa to Abilene that quick. So tell me about your family.
Good. So I grew up like, I have 2 sisters and 2 brothers, but growing up, my two older sisters and my older brother were the only ones like actually heavily involved in our lives. One of my older brothers, he always lived in a different country. So I didn't actually grow up with him. I grew up knowing of him. And I'm the only child of my mom and dad, but I never felt like that because, you know, my mom and my dad, you know, they've been together way before I was around. And, you know, I grew up, so my brothers and sisters, they always felt, it's not even felt, they, my brothers and sisters, I don't even know any other word besides that, you know, half brother, half sister, I don't know none of that. They my brother and sister blood, you know. So we grew up in like a two-bedroom house, you know what I mean? Just, you know, we were not rich.
Yeah.
You know, we were not, you know, depend what you consider poor, but we always had a meal, you know.
Yeah.
My mom always worked. My dad always worked, you know, to provide for the family. So, you know, we grew up happy, man. We live in a very happy house, you know.
Now, Maputo, is that a big, big city?
Yeah, that's a big city. That's the capital city, man. It's pretty big, you know. And, you know, I grew up in a city. So sometimes people are like, man, where you from? I'm like, I'm from Africa. They're like, oh, man, you got elephants. I'm like, yeah, man. This one time I killed this lion with a red-necked choke. They were like, oh, like.
Well, yeah, it's unbelievable.
The only way that we saw lion growing up was going to the zoo, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, but I just play it off like, you know, with the ignorance and stuff like that. But, you know, Maputo's pretty big city. Lots happen over there, you know what I mean? And I grew up, you know, growing up was fun, man. It was fun, you know. We got to do a lot of children stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Childhood stuff that you dream of. I grew up doing that. We didn't have much, but, you know, I never miss a meal. So
I already love your attitude about that. Just gratefulness is what sits over you.
Yeah.
So give us, for us who don't really know where, I mean, that's East Africa and it's right. What are the kind of adjoining countries?
That is like Southeast. So
Southeast. Okay.
Yeah. You got Mozambique, then you got Republic of South Africa, you got Zimbabwe, you got Zambia, Tanzania, Botswana, you know, all that on the
did
south.
Did you get to travel at all? Kind of growing up?
Growing up, man, with the traveling was not, you know, part of our culture just due to the finances, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was not something that, like, you know, people coming from where I came, like, they did a lot. Nowadays, people do a lot of traveling. But back then, you know, the only travel that we did is so within, you know, cities, within towns on the southern part of Mozambique.
Okay.
We never actually travel, like, outside of Mozambique. By the time I started traveling, like, my first trip, actually, you know, was to Republic of South Africa, Swaziland, actually. I went there to play basketball. So most of my international trips were like paid for playing basketball.
Yeah. Wow. So, well, what's the culture like? Culture of the people like? Explain it if you could.
Man, Mozambican people, man, like we Christian, predominant Christian. Then you have some Muslims. But predominant Christians and like my people is very chill. Like whenever I talk about chill, like my people is too chill to the point that like, you know, sometimes I'll be like, man, the government may be messing it up, but people don't even want to fight the government. They'd be like, whatever, man, it's Friday. Let's go to the beach. So that's how people from where I'm from, they really chill. People be like, ain't no civil war, this and that. I'm like, no, my people don't like to fight. My people like to have a good time and just live life. You know what I mean? And that's how we grew up. You know what I mean? Just enjoy life and just take advantage of everything.
Just pleasant to be around.
Yeah, yeah.
When's the last time you've been back?
Man, I got to go back in 2019 after 10 years. So I was here for 10 years, man. Without going back, then 2019, I went back and I was like shocked. You know what I mean? I was like, because you know, you understand that because you know you grew up here in Stephenville, but then you went away for college, you know, law school and all of that. Then coming back to Stephenville, you'd be like, wow, you know, we don't have Big Lou Eagley no more. It's paradigm now. So, you know,
you just dated yourself, man.
So back in Mozambique, I mean, a lot of things changed. In my brain was still, I was still having that, the Mozambique that I grew up in. You know, it's like having a girlfriend, then it's your ex-girlfriend, and you think there's still something going on, then you go back and see her, you'll be like, man, we have grown apart. That's what happens, you know. So
And right before COVID, so good time, and I'm glad you got to go and before they shut down for a year or so.
I know, and that was crazy. Right before COVID, I got here, man, 3 months later, boom.
Okay, so high school, and then you started playing basketball.
Now, so in high school, man, I was still playing basketball, and also I play handball. Handball is more predominant in, you know, Western, like Europe and Africa. You know, we play handball. So I play handball in college, I mean, in high school. And handball is similar to...
It's like baseball with a hand, basically, or something?
Oh, it's like a soccer with a hand.
Okay.
It's soccer mixed with basketball. So for me, it was easy because basketball, we take two steps. By handball, you just took like three steps. So I was like, man. So I was faking them all the time. Instead of taking three steps, I was just jumping one, two, and they expected the third step. Boom. It was fun, you know. And I was just athletic enough to play that. I played basketball. And but, you know, back home, club, high school sports is not the same as here. Here in the United States, high school sports is big. Back home is different. High school sports, it's just high school sports. But like, they don't have teams that we travel to play in other schools or districts and stuff like that. In order for you to do that, you got to join a club team. You know what I mean? Like, whenever I talk about club team, I give an example, like the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, that's the senior level, professional level team. So the Dallas Cowboys will have like a junior level, semi-pro level, junior level, you know, sophomores, freshman level, all the way up to the kids. And that's how you do it. You know, you join that club team and you play all the way up. You know, if you're good enough to make to the senior team, the professional team, you stay. If you're not good enough, your career is over.
Wow, but it's all the same team. So I mean, it's all the same club. You just keep going up, 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 up.
You just keep going up. I mean, you still have a chance to switch clubs within the city, but you know, like it's some type of loyalty. You'd be like, you know, I represent this color, so this is the club that you know.
And that was high school part of that club? I mean, like the sports
high school was just separate the club, so you have to join a club. You know.
So, were you in a club for basketball? Is that what kind of kicked it off?
Yeah, that's what kind of kicked it off. You know, once a guy kicked out. Trying to play football.
So you just weren't good enough.
Yeah. And so it's funny, like, I'm good enough to play Division II college soccer here in the United States, but back home, I'm not good. You know, I'm like,
it's all about who you're around.
You know, but I grew up playing there, so I got kicked out, so I went to basketball. So I started playing basketball. And playing basketball was one of the things that kept me out of trouble. You know what I mean? So I fell in love with the sport, and it's funny because I always loved basketball, but I wasn't serious about basketball until I saw one. I was already in a club, you know, but I wasn't serious about it until I went to a game, a senior level game, because I was in trouble. I didn't want to go home. Because I knew my mom going, you know, she going to spank me for something. I don't know what I did, but I'm like, man, I can't go home. Let me just. So I just went and I watched this senior level basketball. I snuck in because I didn't even pay. So I snuck in and I'm watching this game, man. And I saw this dude like had one of the best haircuts that I ever seen in my life as a kid. He had a big old star on the back of his head. I was like,
oh, no way.
I was like, that dude is cool. I thought he was the coolest guy ever. So I was like, man, I got to be that guy. I want to be, you know, in a place where these people are going to cheer me on. I want to be Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? And so I started taking basketball seriously after that.
Oh, my goodness. That just makes me smile thinking of just kind of the God moments.
I know.
As you were skipping out of trouble and as you were, like, sneaking into a game, that's what gave you the love of, like.
Yeah. This is crazy. It's crazy, but that's how it happened, you know?
So then you just kind of dove in deeper and deeper, but
I dove in deeper and deeper, and you know, the more I dedicated myself, the more things would happen, good things would happen. You know, my parents got divorced when I was 16. So basketball was one of the things that, you know, I relied on and I really enjoyed. So, you know, I think I was a 12-year-old whenever I got my first pair of Converse, you know, the Cons one. I was like, man, they're like beautiful. I'm like, wow, I can't do it. They give me shoes to play basketball? Brand name? I was like, yeah. You know, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm hooked. You know what I mean? So that was really cool.
But you played all the way. So how did you end up? And now I want to get to that. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
How in the world did you get to play college ball here?
Man,
in Texas. I mean, if you look back, that has to be just almost makes you laugh, like going from there to like small town Texas. I mean,
I know it's crazy, but you know, like God works in mysterious ways. I mean, I truly believe that, like, you know, looking back at my life, you know, all the journey to end up here in Erath County is crazy, but people don't even understand how crazy it is. I can look back and just laugh like, wow, this is,
oh, yeah.
You know, I was during that time. So when I'll take it back just a little bit.
Yeah, please.
So everything makes sense. So I was 16 years old and, you know, it's summertime back home and we practice outdoors, you know, it's humid, hot. So I'm 16 years old, and during that time, my parents just got divorced. So I was like, you know, 16, independent, you know. So we finished playing basketball. So I leave the club and the club team, and I'm on my way home. On my way home, I stopped to holler one of my friends. So I was like, yo, come on down, man. It was like, man, what's up? I think it was 8 p.m. I'm like, man, just go home. But like, man, I got some change here. Let's go get a couple beers. He's like, yeah, summertime. So he comes down. So we go right across the street from his apartment building. So we buy a couple beers, you know. So we drink a couple beers. And I'm 16 years old.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you that. Is there a limit or they didn't care? Like,
they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm 16 years old. So we talking and stuff. His uncle comes by. He buys us more beer. So I'm like, we are supposed to just drink two, you know, big 40s that we share. So his uncle buys two more 40s. We're like, whatever. So, you know, I'm buzzing now. You know, I'm slightly intoxicated. I'm like, shit. And then, like, during the week, man, you know. And all right, let's go home. I'll be walking home. So before I even get home, you know, so we, you know, Just think about like you and Fry and Harbin, you know, on one of the corners. So we're just talking over there before we cross the street. And like, you know, and there's not even stop signs of, you know, it's just two-way stop, not a four-way. And then one of my friends was like, yo, can you go check if that bar's still open? I was like, yeah, I'll be right back. And I crossed the street. The last thing I remember, I turned to my right. I heard my name, my friend called my name, yo, Mauro. So I turned, look at him. By the time I turned this way, I only saw lights.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. And like, I didn't know that happens like that, but I've seen that in the movies, but it happened with me in real life.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And next thing I know, I'm waking up on my friend's lap at the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I'm walking into a ER, you know, and I'm like, man, this got to be a dream because I see my brother, see my aunt, I see my mom crying. I'm like, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I'm like, Sammy, right. You know what I mean? Oh, man.
She just got literally ran over.
Yeah, I got hit by a car so bad. Like, you know, I woke up in the hospital and I'm walking in. They do x-rays and all of that, everybody crying. And I'm like, man, what happened? You know? So everything started coming back to me. I was like, okay. Then a week later, I'm right back at the same bar that I was going to.
So you weren't busted up, like broken up? I mean.
Oh, like I messed up, dislocated my shoulder and my right knee.
Well, I'm glad he hit the brakes then, whoever was driving for a little bit.
I don't remember anything. I just saw lights, you know. About a week later, I'm the same bar, you know, I'm drinking, you know. And I hear a conversation, you know, the guy's next to me, and the guy, one of the guys talks about, like, man, this street over here is dangerous, man. Like, last night, this lady was crossing the street, and she got hit, and she died. And then he was like, yeah, man, even last week, man, that kid that lives in that house pointed out of my house. Like, my older brother name is Victor, right? So the guy was like, yeah, Victor, little brother, man, he got hit by a car. Man, I bet he died, too. And I told him, like, no. Shut up. I swear to God, Josh, I'm not playing. You know? And I'm like, I'm Victor, little brother. And he's like, oh, you didn't die? I was like, no.
Oh, wow.
I was like, but at that time, I stopped. I was like, man, there's something bigger for me than this life that I'm living right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's when everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Everything changed. And I was like, I got to change my ways. I got to start focus on what's important. And like I dove in head first in basketball, you know, I was like, man, I gotta stop drinking. I gotta stop hanging out with these people. I gotta just focus on my life. So I stopped playing basketball real hard, you know, real serious. And fast forward, you know, a year after that, I was the youngest player on the national team, selected to play the national team. And then 2 years after that, I was just tired of the environment that I was in. I wasn't growing, you know, because I became famous too quick, too fast, because I was playing really good and everybody knew me. So I was famous and stuff like that, but I was famous without money, you know. It just one of those famous, like, everybody knows you. You get to go everywhere for free. You get eat for free. I mean, everybody wants to hang out with you. But like, you ain't seen no money. There was no money. I was like, man, I'm just famous by like.
Yeah, for none of the benefits.
Yeah, no benefits. You know what I mean? I mean, I get free food, free pass for clubs, you know. But I was like, you know, it's more to that than in life, you know. And I told my mom, I said, I'm tired. I wanna move. I want to get out of Mozambique. I want to get out because I feel if I'm staying here, I'm just. Mozambique is just holding me back. It's not a place for me. I'm not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So during that time, I made some highlight tapes out of VHS.
Oh, yeah.
And I sent four tapes to the United States. I sent one to Montana Junior College and Canisius College and two other junior colleges or universities, whatever. Because basically what I was doing, I was just going to each and every cafe and I tap whatever EDU. So out of the EDU, they just gave me schools. You know, I knew Duke was big, you know, North Carolina were big schools, but I was like, man, I'm not looking for those big schools. I just want to look. So any EDU schools, I just, with my broken English, I emailed the coaches. Hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm 6'5", da-da-da-da, boom. And I can send you the tape. Some coach reply, and I send them the tape. Some coach didn't even reply because probably they didn't understand what the heck I was writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and during that time, there was an American coach back home helping out with a women's national, senior national team. And my head coach talked to him, was like, hey, this is the kid that I was telling you that is trying to go to the United States. So that coach was like, oh, okay, I got a friend in Midland. They're still filling up the roster. So let me call him and tell him about him. So I called the guy in Midland, and the coach in Midland got a call back. Hey, how tall are you? How much you weigh and stuff like that? So I talked to him. He was like, yeah, we want to give you a scholarship. I was like, cool.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And scholarship was sent, and I got a scholarship before I have a plane ticket. I didn't even have a visa to come to the United States.
I know. I was going to say, oh, my goodness. Like, when, yeah, so before you even, I mean, they just saw some videotapes and a friend connected you, got you the scholarship and you're in.
Yeah.
What? How'd your mom take that?
Man, my mom, she had mixed emotions. You know, I'm the bait.
Yeah, you're leaving long way away.
Yeah, I'm the baby. And my mom had a daughter that was taken away from her before I was born. And she lost contact with that daughter. So my mom had that feel. And my older brother was living out of country. So my mom was like, you know, I'm fixing to lose my baby. You know, I already lost my daughter. I don't want to lose my baby. So during that time, you know, we pray. I told my mom, I say, Mom, ain't nothing left for me. Ain't nothing left for me in Mozambique. I need to move out of this country in order for me to succeed or whatever I'm doing, because, you know, ain't no life for me here. And my mom was on my side. She was like, yeah. So we pray, we cry. Like, I had a scholarship in hand. Scholarship, but I have no plane ticket. You know, plane ticket was $2,000. And I'm talking about this back in 2002.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, no money. And like, I was like, and I was relaxed. I was like, man, Mama, I know we're going to get the money. I know we're going to get the money. We pray. I remember till this day, like it was yesterday, me and my mom sitting on her bed, just talking and praying like, man, it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. And it did. And she was happy. She was concerned because a month or 2 months, 2 to 3 months prior for me to get in my scholarship, I had an injury, my left leg.
Oh, man.
So I wasn't training. I wasn't practicing for 3 months and I got scholarship, but I wasn't even running. I couldn't even run. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I had these mysterious injuries on my left foot that I went to 3 different doctors. One of the doctors put me on a cast.
Oh, my goodness.
But prior to that, we consulted with a different one. And this one was like, man, let's just, you know, you're going to need a surgery. We're going to cut the bottom of your foot surgery. And I like, surgery going to take like 3 months to heal. And I need to be in the United States within a month. Goodness. You know, so we consulted with another doctor, and it was like, if you have a surgery on the bottom of your foot, you may not play basketball ever again.
Oh, my goodness.
So we like, what we do? So I got a cast in my foot for like a month, maybe take that cast off. I'm still not able to practice and run.
Oh, God.
It's just crazy, man.
Oh, good gracious.
And my mom is like, how are you going to the United States? You haven't even been able to practice. You haven't even been able to play. I was like, Mom, and this is exactly what I told my mom. I said, Mom, I got so much faith that I believe by the time I get to the United States, this foot will be healed.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I was like, I believe you.
Oh, yes.
I believe
you. That's all people need. Side note, and you know this and you believe this, probably encourage more people than anything. Just like people just need you to believe in them.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah. So you cast it up. Were you like getting on the plane, taking your cast off at the same time? Like, how'd you get your visa stuff? Did you have to work with somebody or the Midland?
Yeah, I went to the interview. You know, I told them, you know, what I was about to do. They were like, okay, scholarship, whatever. They gave me a visa. Then the National Federation of Basketball, because I was a member of the senior national team, so they helped me with a ticket. So I came. Hey, you're going to laugh at this. So I come to Midland, you know what I mean? I don't know where.
Yeah, okay. Time out there for a second. What was it like getting on the – I mean, you're coming to the airport. Have you ever flown at that point?
Yeah, I've been to Europe at that point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so I've been to the airport. You're going to America to Texas. Yeah. Where did you fly into the first time, man?
I know. So I've been to Europe, and I'm looking. So people back home, when I was growing up, the only places they know in Texas, Dallas, San Antonio, Houston. And the reason they know that is because the Mavs, the Cowboys, not even the Cowboys, the Mavs, the Spurs, and the Rockets.
Yep.
So I'm looking on a map. I'm on a good internet cafe. I'm looking on a map. I'm like, oh, this Midland right here. I'm like, cool. So, man, if I fly to Dallas, then I'm close to Midland.
So welcome to Texas, man.
Like, yeah.
That's
so
like
in my brain, you know, Dallas and Midland is not too far.
Just like an inch or two on the Texas map.
Yeah. That's how it looks on the map. You know what I mean? So I got in a plane, man. For some reason, my flight got jacked up in JFK. So I get to Dallas on a Sunday. I was supposed to get to Dallas on a Friday. I get to Dallas on a Sunday. And here, this African kid with one bag in Dallas International. And I'm like, okay, I don't see no Midland College people here. What the heck going on?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, all right. So I see these guys walking by and I'm like, hey man, can I borrow your cell phone? You know, it's still a flip phone. Can I borrow your cell phone? I need to call my coach. You know, I showed them the scholarship letter. And these dudes look at me like I'm crazy. But now I understand why I look at me. He's like.
Yeah.
So he's like in disbelief, but he gives me his phone, like, man. I don't know about this guy. And I call, nobody in the office. It's a Sunday. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I go outside. I see a taxi line. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to hop on a taxi and ask this guy to take me to Midland.
Oh, my goodness.
I swear to God. So I go outside. I ask the guy, I say, man, I need to go to Midland, Texas. And the guy looks at me and goes, what? I say, Midland, Texas. Once again, I show my, you know, scholarship papers.
Yeah.
And he looks at me confused, man. So he grabs this book and he tells me, so, hey, it's going to cost $500.
Oh, wow.
All right, to Midland?
That's like 6 hours from Dallas, I think.
And $500 was the only money that my mom had given me. That's
oh,
the only money I had. One bag and $500. And I'm like, man, and the guy tells me, and I remember vividly, I mean, with detail, like, you know, it was yesterday, it tells me, go down these stairs, you'll see a yellow bus, get on the bus, and tell the driver that you want to go to Greyhound downtown.
Oh, my goodness, man, I cannot believe, how old were you at this time?
I was 20, man, I wasn't
afraid. Coming to a whole new country, just getting on a bus and just following orders from. Oh,
so I get to downtown, you know, I pay a dollar for the bus ride. Then I get downtown, buy a ticket, which is $65. And from Dallas to Midland, we stop in every little town, man. And I was like, well, see, and I remember stopping Cisco.
Oh, you Cisco Ranger.
Yeah,
Sweetwater.
All of them. And I stopped at Cisco, and I'm like, man, are we still in the United States?
Oh, yeah, it's like the desert.
I didn't believe that was the United States, man. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Stopping Abilene, you know, Tacoma, Big Spring. And then we finally get to Midland, man. And I was like, wow, but I wasn't tired. I was just excited. You know, 8-hour drive. I was just excited because I'm in the United States right now. And, you know, my new life is about to start. So ain't nothing going to stop me.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Crazy.
You got what you asking for as far as, like, coming in, getting new scenery, new everything.
Everything.
I could just put myself in your shoes as you're on that bus ride. You've had to be thinking, like, where in the heck am I going? Like,
yeah, I was like, man, this is crazy. Because, you know, the only thing that we saw about Texas, I mean, we knew Cowboys and stuff, but like we used to skyscrapers in Dallas and Houston. We're not used to Cisco, Texas, man. Nobody knew about Cisco.
Oh, man, nobody's used to that.
No, so, you know, that was a culture shock, but I was like, wow, well, it is what it is. It's the United States.
So you showed up and, man, you got off the Greyhound bus in Midland.
Nobody waited for me.
I know. I was like, what happened? Did you call the coaches? Like, what?
I get out, man, and I'm looking like, okay, I'm in Midland now. Now what? So I see this couple. yeah, the wife was picking up the son or whatever. So I see them and picking up the husband. So I see them, I'm like, excuse me. And they drove like a white Chrysler convertible. And I'm like, excuse me, can I get a lift? They look at me, I was like, yeah, can I need a lift to Midland College.
You just started hitchhiking. You were hitchhiking as soon as you got the
seat. I know, man. So they look at me like, man, what the heck? And they were a white couple too. So they look at me like, so I'm in the right with this kid. But I gave them my scholarship paper. So they read it. Like, okay. So they took me to the dorms. So that's a Sunday, you know. I get to the dorms and my roommate comes down, man. Yo, what's up? Hey. Excited. So we go up in the room. You know, he let me borrow a pair of shoes. Five in the morning the next day. We hit in the hardwood floor for the first time in 3 months.
Oh my goodness, blessed. That's just crazy.
For the first time in 3 months, and I'm there playing basketball. A week later, I talk to my mom. And the first question that she has is like, how's your foot? And I was like, oh, my foot. Oh.
That is good, wasn't it? Praise God. Yeah.
Praise God, man. Praise God, man.
That is an amazing story.
And I never had a problem with my foot ever since. No lie.
So was I wrong in that you played for ACU?
No, you're correct. Because
So you started at Midland College?
I started Midland. You know, I started Midland. And my roommate was from Abilene, Texas. So his dad actually is from Kenya, is one of the first black medical doctors that Abilene ever had. Now he's actually working for Texas Tech in Lubbock. So my roommate takes me home for Christmas break. And during Christmas break, that was my first time I got freaking flu and I was sick as a dog.
Man, welcome to Texas.
First time ever, I was like, man, I thought I was about to die. Yeah. So during the Christmas break, you know, we playing basketball. No, we didn't. Yeah, we play, I think, one time at Abilene Christian. And we on campus, just visiting campus, because his friends, he's from Abilene, and one of his friends was a residence director there, so we went to visit him. And these were the words out of my mouth. I'm like, man, I'd love to come to school here. I'd like to go to Christian College. And that was in December, you know. And then fast forward March, my coach gets fired. So we get a new coach, and the new coach is coming in with his new players, new coaching staff and everything. And it tells me that, hey, man, I'm not sure how much playing time you're going to have. But, you know, you're welcome to stay. I mean, all you can leave, you know. And I was like, man, I stay. I fight for my playing time. And during that time, the junior college in Montana calls me. They want me to go over there. The small Division I in Canisius College sends me an email, hey, we would like to have you come visit. I'm like, man, cool. So I got option. But, you know, I get on Google, and I look Montana, I'm like, is that snow? No. I look Buffalo, New York, I was like, that's snow? I'm like, I don't think I want to go anywhere there. Then my coach tells me, hey, I got an Abilene Christian University coach coming in today, you know, to check you out. I'm like, cool. So I do a workout for Abilene Christian University, and they offer me a full scholarship.
Wow.
That's the same college that I just 4 months ago say I would like to go to college here, man. And they gave me a full ride. I was like, I'll take it.
Something about your words, man, your belief.
Yeah, no, man. I want to be a millionaire.
Yeah, man, me too, man. Sign us up. So you finished out your college career there, and how did you get to Stephenville?
So I finished my college career there. Then I go and play in Mexico for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then I come back. I keep playing. Then I met my wife. you know, man, my wife, she was still going to Tarleton. So we met each other and, you know, I played a little bit more, went to Europe, tried to finish, get a contract there, got hurt.
So I Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I came back in 2009 and I was like, you know, I'm down with basketball. So let me just focus on, you know, growing a family, you know, growing a family. And we were married and I finished school, went back to school to get my teaching certification so I can teach and coach, you know, high school level. And during that time, I became a U.S. citizen. I was back in 2012. And I asked God, I say, the reason that I want to coach is because I want to be able to influence people, young people, you know. But I always had something for law enforcement. So I just want to do something greater than myself. I didn't want to just do any job. I want something that I can impact people's life. And I had an interview, so I put two applications to become a coach and for police officer. And I told God, I said, whichever one comes first, I'm going with. And I was hired by Odessa Police Department. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we went back to West Texas.
You cannot get away from West Texas.
No, man. Golly.
Hey, man, I went to Lubbock. I liked it out there, though. Most people, when they drive by, they just say, how could you live here? But, man, I love my time in Lubbock.
Now, Lubbock is
the people. I don't know about Odessa.
Lot of trips over there.
Yeah. So you got hired on with the Odessa Police Department.
I got hired on there, man. Went to the academy, you know, finished the academy, you know, worked for them for 5 years, man. So the first 2 years got promoted, you know, and 3 years later, got promoted again. So I told my wife, I said, we're just going to be here for 2 years, but I kept getting promoted. Then I end up, my last assignment was crimes against persons unit. So I was dealing with family violence, sexual assault, molestation, you know, all of that crimes against persons deal. And I left after 5 years and I went to Odessa College, and I was the director of a law enforcement academy, a police academy, because I've always been involved with training and stuff like that and teaching. So I was the director of police academy there. But, you know, 8 years later, man, we looked at each other, and my wife was like, I'm ready to move. I said, oh, me too.
It's time.
And we got up, we moved. It was weird the way we moved too, man, because I'll be honest, I say this all the time. I used to hate is a strong word, but I used to hate Stephenville, man. I didn't like Stephenville. Yeah, I was like, man, Stephenville is boring. I can't even play basketball. I can't even go nowhere. I can't even go shop. Man, but like once I start, you know, work at a PD, man, Stephenville was the most peaceful place that I could find. So any chance that we had to come to Stephenville, man, I was ready. So we came here for holidays, and that was the best time that I could have, just here relaxing, you know, on off. And I was like, trees, green. I was like, man, I love this place. I love this place. And like, shoot, we decided to move here, you know, because the kids, family, and it's a great place to raise family. And I was I don't want to raise my family in Odessa. I work in Odessa. Work with the kids in Odessa, you know, help a lot of kids in Odessa. So I know the kind of environment that I was in.
Yeah. Gosh, bless it. I feel like we need like two podcasts. I've got to skip on. You're going to have to promise me another one. I want to get into the jujitsu in the club.
Yeah.
Like I would kick myself if we didn't, because you're talking about you wanting to impact people and kids. And I just have this mental picture of you looking in at you're coaching my boys. And I just look at you have a room full of kids that you're impacting, and it's just like what you've said has happened. But how in the world did you get into jujitsu? And then did the club start in your own club? Was that ever on the radar? I mean, tell me about this, because man, you have a lot of people, man. You're making a lot of steam up there.
Yeah. I mean, like looking back, you know what I mean? Like what I have asked God, or what God has put in my mind, in my heart, was just to be able to impact people some way. So I retired from basketball. You know, I was like 25, 26. And I'm like, I don't want to play basketball no more. I'm not going to pursue professional basketball no more. I'm done. But like, I'm still on my prime. I'm still enjoying the game. But I didn't actually enjoy the game because every time I went to the gym, like playing up in gym, I didn't know how to play for fun. You know, basketball gave me life. Basketball brought me to the United States. So I was going 100%. And if you're on my team and you're not playing 100%, man, I got mad. You know what I mean? And I was going 100% every time. So I wasn't having fun playing basketball no more because my mindset was not there. So I was like, I got to stop this. I can't keep getting upset to play the game that I love. I got to get away. So I stopped, completely stopped. But I wanted to stay in shape. So I started training MMA at the local gym in Abilene, Texas. MMA, you know. And we did sparring, stuff like that. And I threw a high kick. Telling you, I didn't have any background in combat sports. I just did taekwondo for 1 week. And back home, I did taekwondo for 1 week. And that week, the sensei just literally kicked our butt. So we didn't go back. We're like, man, this is too hard. We ain't got time for this. So we didn't go back. And I'm there, and I'm sparring. Boom. And I threw a high kick, and I hit this kid in the head. Boom. I dropped it, and I'm like, ooh.
Oh, my coach
looks at me like this, like, hey, man, I can get you a fight if you want to fight. I'm like, what? And my coach, he used to play football at ACU, too. So I knew him and the other coach were two of them, Chris and Brandon. And I knew them, and I was like, man, I didn't know you guys doing MMA, so... So they start coaching me, and I just started enjoying going there for workout and fell in love with MMA, start training, you know. A year later, moved to Midland. And in Odessa, in Abilene, so we did, you know, no-gi jiu-jitsu twice a week. But I go to Midland.
But, I mean, you started in the MMA, you started doing no-gi jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, no-gi jiu-jitsu. Then when I moved to Odessa, you know, being in the force, I still want to train. So I still, you know, contacting these guys. And I got with my professor, Bruno. And that's when I started doing gi. I didn't like it. I was like, it's not, but I didn't know what gi was. You know, I was like, you know, I just.
Yeah. So for us who don't know anything about it, for people who are listening, like, give us a little bit of like, just kind of big picture of what is MMA and what is jiu-jitsu. Just big picture, and then get us back to Bruno and the gi.
MMA,
what's the gi
just,
and no gi?
You know, mixed martial arts. You know, if I refer to UFC, most people right now, UFC is mainstream. So that's MMA. You know, jiu-jitsu is just, you know, whenever we get to the ground, you know. So instead of just punching, we're just looking for submissions, control. And I fell in love with that. Then, you know, in jiu-jitsu, you have gi and no gi. Gi is when you wear a kimono, and no gi is when without a kimono. So no gi. And I started training that and with Bruno Bastard, and I never looked back, man.
How when you were starting to ramp into that, how often would you train? I mean, would it be kind of all the time or?
Like even with 12-hour shifts that I was doing, I was squeezing 3 times a week minimum. Yeah,
I've noticed you're like an energizer, man. Energizer bunny. You just don't. You got it well, if you're tired.
I used to squeeze at least 3 times a week. I fought my first MMA fight of my rookie year at the PD, and I was working nights. So I used to, my lunch break, I used to just take my vest, okay? Take my vest, my shirt, and just go upstairs at the PD like this, rackety gym that we just had bags. Now they got a really nice facility. They just had bags, so I just turned my radio all the way up and just punch back for an hour. Get on my unit and eat some avocado and grilled chicken and back there. you know? And that's why whenever people be like, man, I don't have time to train, I look at them like, yeah.
Oh, they're going to have to listen to this show if that's the case. Like, just listen to this. Oh, my goodness. So you would do that, and you started with Bruno then, and you're doing MMA also, and then just training. So right now, what is your level? Give us kind of the range of levels of belt, like black belt, because I think most people kind of on the outside think in terms of belt, like black belt.
Yeah. So of course, like adult from 16 or 17 and up, you start a white belt level. Okay. So you start white belt, usually white belt, you spend a year or two as a white belt, and then you promote to a blue belt. And blue belt 2 years, you know, and then promote to a purple belt, which is another 2 years. And then brown belt is 1 to 2 years, you know, and then you go to black belt. So usually it takes you close to 8 to 10 years to get your black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Mm. You know, different than some arts, you see a kid in karate ways, 12-year-old as black belt. Like, come on.
Yeah, you got to put the time in.
Yeah, you got to put the time in, because I put like Creed or Colt.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, they've been training for 2 months. I put them with a karate kid as a black belt. I put my money on Creed or Colt.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Creed and Colt are going to be happy to hear that. Yeah.
That's the level of training, you know. Jiu-Jitsu is completely different, you know.
Now, right now, are you a black belt, or is there beyond that? Where are you?
So I'm a black belt, and like, you know, because even in each level, you get 4 strikes. Okay, white belt, 4 strikes.
After okay.
The 4 strikes, that's when you promote next. So in black belt, you have to be a black belt for 3 years before you get your first strike.
Yeah.
So I'm on my second year as a black belt. So it's just a plain black belt. So another year, I'm going to get my first strike on a black belt.
Congratulations. You know? Oh, my goodness. Thanks. So how in the world did you want to, or when did it come up to, like, you're back in town? You're at this point, you were already probably a brown belt, maybe a black belt. Yeah. And then you're like, I'm going to start a gym?
Yeah. Before I left Odessa, I had a fitness gym where we work out, you know, and I did boxing there and kickboxing. So my goal, because I was training under Bruno over there, and I had two other friends who had a jiu-jitsu gym in Odessa. So I had no interest in open a jiu-jitsu gym there. But I knew as soon as I moved to Stephenville, the first thing that I'm going to do, I'm going to open a jiu-jitsu gym, because that's what I want to do.
You're impacting people.
Yeah, I want to have a, you know, jiu-jitsu academy. So I moved here. And of course, we got hit by Corona and stuff like that. So I bought the land, a lot close to downtown, to build the gym, actually. And, you know, COVID hit, so halt everything. My wife lost her job, and, you know, I'm like, so life just hit us. And then I found this place out in the countryside, you know, and I was so stressed. I mean, the whole world was stressed. And the only thing that I knew how to do was, like, you know, this is where I release stress. So I decided to, you know, buy some mats and just open over there temporarily. And I was like, we're not going to be here for long, because, you know, my goal is to be in town and open a big academy where I can host more people. But, you know, the more I didn't, the more people start hearing about it, you know, they start showing up and train and enjoy the family environment, because, you know, you know me for this short amount of time, you can see the kind of culture that I'm trying to build, you know. I want to build a culture where people can feel welcome, family environment, where we can learn and grow together, you know.
It's incredible what you've created. And I know when you're in the weeds as deep as you are in it, sometimes it's hard to see, because we get through right here. But I mean,
yeah.
If you step back from my perspective, it is pretty special. I know it's a ton of work. Man, I think every day, it's like, I don't know how you do this. Like, working full time, and then you're up there at 5 in the morning, and you're up there at 8 at night. Like, how do you do that, man?
It's just, man, I'm wired that way, man. It's one of those deals, like, you know, like I always say, when you ask God for food, we always ask God, hey, God, give me food, you know? And we forget that sometimes God does not give us food already cooked. He gives us the ingredients.
Oh, and, man, that's so good.
Yeah, I mean, he gives you the ingredients you got to cook with, you know? So I can't complain whenever God gave me the ingredients for me to cook so I can eat. Because
It's such a good analogy.
Yeah, I told him that I was hungry. He gave me the ingredients, but now it's up to me to cook. So, you know, those 14-hour days that I have, I'm just in the kitchen.
Yeah, you're just cooking. How many students do you have total? I mean, just from super rough estimate, I mean.
Yeah, right now we average like 100, 110.
Wow. What would you like to see it get to eventually? Do you have a top number in mind, or just however big the Lord wants to get it?
I would like by the end of the year, by the end of this year, where we at, I would like to be pushing at least close to 200.
Okay.
Close to 200. You know, whenever we build a new facility, I would like to see a 300.
And yeah.
I'm not asking for too much. I just believe that there's a need for, you know, provide service. Like one of the guys I was training with us this morning is a police officer in Granbury, you know, and that's the kind of, you know, target population that I'm looking for as well, to help out, because I know how hard it is out there, just, you know, for police officers to be able to do their job safely, you know.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to provide that.
Well, for anybody listening, and there's a few more questions, and I hate to wrap this up. You are going to have to promise me another round. How do people connect if they're interested in getting more information about joining the academy, or reaching you to ask questions about it, or just want to come see it or whatever? How do they get in contact with you the best way?
Now, the best way, you can give us a call, 254-964-5072.
Okay. And how about social media, Blessed?
Social media, you can, you know, just get on Facebook and just type Makua Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Makua BJJ.
And that's M-A-K-H-U-W-A BJJ.
BJJ, you can link up to that. Yeah, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on our website. If you Google that, it takes you to our website, Facebook, Instagram. And, you know, and we train from Monday through Saturday, you know, And, you know, it's a family environment, man. We love having people. Our female population has grown, adults has grown, and we got more people training, you know, professionals from all walks of life, man.
Yeah, maybe you're going to start the older guys class like me and you one day.
Hey. At least in the morning, that's what we average. So, you know,
that's the morning class.
That's the morning class. And that's why I enjoy that class. That class is more chill. In the evening class, man, you got Reese Young, Cashin, Bramlett.
I know that, you know, that's funny. I was just telling somebody about that. The first time you walk in, you're just like, come on, man, these guys, you're going to go. We're old, man. We're not old, but, you know, compared to these guys, we're old.
Yeah, I mean, they full of energy, man, full of energy and life. And it's I love seeing that, you know.
Super cool, yeah.
I love seeing that.
Well, man, if you had to say, like, what's your life message, or what's an encouragement to people? What are some of the things that just come off the top of your head? You know, like this I would say is a life message for me.
What would that be? Faith, man. What is having faith? You know what I mean? Having faith, man, is just believing that, you know, not having what you want right now is just temporarily. Things will happen. You know, I used to sleep. If my wingspan, okay, my wingspan was longer than the room that I used to sleep in. You know what I mean? My wingspan, I had just one single, you know, mattress in my room. But I had faith. I never sat down and not believe that I'm going to make it life. I had doubts, yeah, a few times. But I always believed that, like, God did not brought me here to live me. You know what I mean? And that's why I go back to Jeremiah 29:11.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremiah 29:11. I'm like, man, my life is Jeremiah 29:11. I've been through a lot of struggles. I had nothing, man. I had nothing. So for today to be able to see my kids, be able to provide for my kids, not just my kids, the kids in the academy. I have scholarship for police. So I'm giving police officers scholarships to train and get better. I provide kids with scholarship to train and get better. That's not me. That's God. You know,
I mean, you came to America with one suitcase and $500.
Yeah.
And now you have an academy with hundreds of people. It'll be 200 by the year end, providing for all these people scholarship and then pouring into all those kids and adults.
All because of faith and believing God.
Yep.
You know, I'm not really, you know, I don't want to say I'm humble, but that's who I am. Like, everything I give is because I've been given. So ain't nothing going to stop me, you know? And I focus on just, you know, what can I do to make my community, to make people around me better? Because I know these people that are making better, they're making me better. So ain't no need, you know. So having that faith, man, gosh, has been amazing.
Man, thank you. Thank you for all you're doing.
Man, thank y'all.
I can't wait to hear about, I can't wait to watch the new facility getting built at some point, filled with class. And hey, man, you're going to have to, I'll put my, take my, interviewer out of, you're gonna have to get some help at some point.
Oh no, Jeff, it's coming. No, it's coming, man. It's been a transition moment, you know. We're in the middle, like we have about 3-acre lot that we are trying to build a house, but you know, so much stuff happened. The market is crazy, so I'm in the middle of buying a house right now, you know. So I'm in the middle of buying a house. We just moved into a new location and we thinking about building, you know, a new location. I mean, a lot of things happen, but like, you know, I just got to stay patient and be patient because by the second half of this year, man, we going to have some full-time help over there at the gym. So, and that's what I'm looking for.
That's good because I don't want to see you get burned out. You got a lot more people into impact.
Yeah.
Well, man, hey, Blessed, thank you for making time. We'll link up to the in the notes and just the number and the social they can get with you. And hopefully for those who want to give it a shot, reach out and give it a shot because you're in good hands. And man, it's just, I'm just grateful to know you and be a part of what you're doing out there. So thank you for making time.
Man, thank you for inviting me, man. It's been a pleasure to be here to talk to you, man. I admire you, admire what you do, man, and your family. So it's really good to have people like you around.
Thank you, Blessed. I appreciate it.
Hey, this is Micah. Me and Josh would like to thank you for joining us in the Story Field today. We hope you've enjoyed our discussion, and to learn more about us and the Story Field, visit thestoryfield.com. This podcast is sponsored by The Allen Firm, legal guides for many of life's situations. To learn more about The Allen Firm, visit allenlawfirm.com. Have a blessed day, week, and year, and we will see you next time on The Story Field.
This is Josh again. I just wanted to thank you for listening and let you know that this podcast is really about hope and about giving you hope for your life. So if you're listening and you're in a place where you're really feeling hopeless right now, or if you do not know Jesus, we have some great news to share with you and would love a chance to pray for you. Email us at hope@allenlawfirm.com. That's hope@allenlawfirm.com, and we'll reach out to you soon. Thank you for listening. God bless you.